I want to start with the halacha. It's a rule. It's in the Gemara of Baba Basra. In Omer Kiddush al Hayom al Barayim Yayin Sheroy the Nasach Hagamim Mizbeach. The Yayin has to be suitable for the Sochem and the Migdash, then we can make Kiddush on it. Now, the Gemara says we're not exactly at the same standard. The Gemara explains something which is B'di'evet kosher for the Sochem, as long as it's B'di'evet kosher, is L'chatchila kosher for Kiddush. And it's not absolute. This is a general yardstick. There are exceptions. And really, the most famous machlokes that's associated with this is the issue of yayin mevushal. If we can make kiddush on yayin mevushal or not. The mechaber quotes two views. As we'll see. Simon. 272. The kachin al yayin mevushal, ayin reish be'erev, simen erev, simches, al yayin sheyesh bo dvash, or wine that has honey or any fruit juice mixed into it. Now we have to remember that this is an important point, dvash. There's a halach, the Rambam also does mention sa'ar, if you put any yeast into the wine. Now we have on Easter in the Mikdash ki chol sorof chol chol dvash lo sektir memenu isha l'Hashem. So part of the machlokas has to do why is this possible for the Sochem? Is it possible for the Sochem because this is considered inferior wine and that's the reason that it's possible, or because it's in violation of the halacha ki chol sorof chol dvash lo sektir memenu isha l'Hashem? It's part of the machlokas. Then the Shulchan Aruch says v'yesh aymrim. So the Shulchan Aruch first says mekachna yayin mevushal. That's the stam daya. V'yesh aymrim. This is the view of the Rambam and of others that v'yesh aymrim she'ein mekachin aleihem, that one may not use this for these things for kiddush. V'haminig the Rambam says the kaddish alo. The minig is to make kiddush. Afilu yesh lo yayin acher, even if he has wine which is not mevushal, rak she'eino tov k'mo mevushal, but it's preferable to take the best wine that you can use for kiddush. So don't take an inferior wine just because it is not mevushal. She'eino tov k'mo mevushal lo she'yesh bo dvash, or the Rambam adds something which has the fruit juice is added to it. Now this machloikah is a very interesting machloikah, because the halacha states that yayin mevushal is possible in a sochem. That's clear. Now the shayla is, why is it now joining together with the Rambam? We also have Rashi also says. Rashi paskins, interestingly enough, Rashi was in the wine business, and Rashi paskins that yayin mevushal you make shahakum. And on the other side, so we have on this side is the some of the Goinim and Rashi and the Rambam. On the other side, we have the Rabbeinu Tam, the Reed, the Ether, and the Rosh, that Mavushal is kosher the Kiddush. It's kosher for Kiddush, and you certainly make Vorach Priya Gofen. Why? Now, what is this stem about? Because there's a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas which says that mevushal is considered better than yayin she'eino mevushal. So you can't tell me that it's ruining the wine. It can't be that it's ruined. So consequently, that can't be the reason for the psul. So why is it possible for the sochem? So the pasuk, because the pasuk says zevach on the sochem dvar yoyim biyoyimai. So just to leave this, ma zevach shalom nishtana af nisochem shalom nishtanu. That's a gemara on the chayrus. Just as zevach means it's unchanged, it's an animal in an unaltered state. So the yayin used to be in the sochem also has to be in an unaltered state. Mameila, when you cook the wine, even though the wine in fact may be better than it was before it was mevushal, but it's in an altered state, it's not in its natural state anymore. And that's the reason they say it's possible for the Sochem. So therefore it's not relevant to the issue of Kiddush, because in Kiddush the scale is, if it's inferior, that it would be possible for the Sochem, then we shouldn't be using it for Kiddush. But if it's possible for a different reason, which does not relate to Kiddush, has nothing to do with Kiddush, then why not use it for Kiddush? Similar to the reasoning of those that say that you can eat Tzor Dvash, if it has a good taste of wine, it's not a korban. A korban, you can't put Dvash on the Mizbeach. I'm on Kiddush, I'm not putting anything on the Mizbeach, so what's the problem? So their view of that Mishnah is that the wine gets better. So that's it, Yayin Mavushal is better than Yayin Shein Mavushal. What is the view of the Rambam? The Rambam holds otherwise. The Rambam says that the wine is in fact inferior by the Bishul. But what does the Bishul do? It has one significant gain. If you ever took unpasteurized grape juice, so you know it has a very short shelf life because mold forms in it. So if you cook it, you make sure that no mold is going to fall. So you lengthen the wound. That's what the Mishnah means. It has a lengthier shelf life, even though the product is somewhat inferior. So, a very 20th century type of notion.
Does the Gemara, by the way, call it Yayin Mevushal? Does it use that terminology?
I believe. I don't remember 100%. I believe so. I'm not 100%.
I'm curious how Rashi Pshat would be, but not being called Yayin Mevushal, the Gemara itself would call it Yayin Mevushal.
Well, that's a description of how it, what it, where it comes from.
It's
still
called yayin. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the Gemara says the Gemara calls yayin, for example, which is wine, which is reicho yayin v'tamo chola. And the Gemara also calls that wine. And when the Gemara paskens clearly, it's not wine. The wine which smells like wine and tastes like vinegar, but it's also called yayin in the Gemara. But the Gemara says clearly that you don't make a vera priya gofen on it.
So how does Rambam understand the drasha from Karbanos if it's possible anyway?
What do you mean if it's possible? Why is
that? That Yain Nesach is a limit that it's unchanged.
That's the way these Shidas are learning, apparently. They're learning that, in other words, when you change it, whatever, it changes the Reyesah. That's the problem.
Why do we even need a drasha for that?
Who says? Who says? Listen, maybe an inferior wine is also kosher for the Sochem. Who says it has to be dafka, be the best? I mean, you should want the best, but who says it's possible otherwise? The grape juice. Now, we have in the Gemara, let's first finish this, then we'll talk about grape juice. So the Ramah principally paskins like the view of the Matirim, that you can use yayin she'ein yayin mevushal. However, the Chavetz Chaim, if we look at the Ramah carefully, the Ramah says that we make the kaddish alav avili yesh le'erak she'ein tov kamoha mevushal. That we use mevushal when the ein of mevushal is inferior to it. The mehem shoven, if both of these types of wines are equivalent to each other, then the halacha is, the Chabad Chaim writes, that it's preferable not to make Kiddush on this. So this is a very important point. And then he says, Alinyan Brocha, then we certainly paskel that we make Bera Priya Gofen and Yayin Mevushal. But for Kiddush, all things being equal, in other words, if Yayin Sheinu Mevushal and Yayin Sheinu Mevushal have the same time, And certainly if the Yayin Sheinu Mavushal is better, then it's certainly preferable to use the Yayin Sheinu Mavushal and be Yetzei L'chol HaDeis. That's what comes out from the halacha. I mean, the question is, how far do you have to go with this? You know, in some places, the Chumrah goes to such an extreme that it becomes a very huge kula. You know, if you have a place where there are non-Jewish help around, you have non-Jewish workers in your house, non-from people that frequent your table, then the Chumrah of Yayin Sheinu Mavushal is a huge kula. Because you're going to wind up having to be Mekel in the halacha of Stam Yenam. So that's certainly not worth the trade-off. I'm not even so enthralled, you know, that they sell widely, you know, the big bottles of Nat Mavushal grape juice. I've told some of the people responsible for it that I'm less than pleased with it. Why? Because nobody's used to being nizer by grape juice for the union of Stam Yenam. And this gets sold in places. It's not only sold in places where there are only frum juice. It's rather can be, wind up being very broadly used.
Stam Yenam is across the board. It doesn't make a difference if it's Mavushal now.
Now, if it's Mavushal, there's no standin of Stam Yenam. But if you produce a grape juice, which is Eino Mavushal, and people don't, the public does not take into account that grape juice has an issue of Stam Yenam.
The grape juice has sugar added or something like that. So
sugar doesn't change. That wouldn't change the dinner of Stam Yenam. That's possible.
Honey?
That dinner is not going to change the way we pass it. So
I was talking there with the straw. They sell grape juice to some of them, for sure, some are not.
They have them here too.
Bottle's a little bit different, actually.
Yeah, the problem is if they would keep it in their parts of town, I wouldn't mind. That's
they make mistakes sometimes.
That's the problem. It shows up in places where it could be very problematic.
So if you have an open bottle and you have a cleaning lady,
yeah, you should put it or lock it in some closet someplace.
But if let's say you don't, is it better to go buy non-Mavushal grape juice, Afka?
If you don't,
so you know, let's say the cleaning lady's not around when there's open.
There's a mila. There's a mila. So the Chabad Chaim says, all things being equal, there's a mila to it. But you have to weigh carefully all things being equal. Now, grape juice is an interesting question. What the din of grape juice is. Now, this stems from the fact that the Gemara says that Yayin Begitoy, that you take grapes, squeeze them out, and they become kosher. They become kosher for Kiddush. So this would suggest that grape juice is kosher. The Gemara says it doesn't have to be wine. You just take a grape and you squeeze it out, and that's it. And you can just squeeze it. You know, right before Shabbos, you squeeze it into your becher, make a fresh grape juice, and you can go and you make Kiddush. It's very interesting that the world goes around and around and around and it comes back always to where it was. I heard once from one of the Chaverim Mashver that when the Tzelem Rav initially came out with the grape juice and wrote its kosher the Kiddush, so Rav Leib Malan, Rosh Yeshiva Beis HaTalmud, went to him and he told him he doesn't agree with his psak. Why? He said, for a very simple reason. That which the Gemara says that Yayin Megito is kosher, that's because it can still become wine. It can still ferment and become wine. So therefore it's considered as the halacha of Yayin from the outset. But something that you pasteurize and can no longer turn into wine, so that lost the din yayin altogether. So the Tzelem Rav didn't agree with him, and the Tzelem Rav said the halacha is not mechalik in yayin mevushal, and what type of yayin it's when it's mevushal, when it's not mevushal. There's a general halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says the yayin mevushal is kosher. So this was the machlokes that they had. Now it's rather interesting that this is a very old machlokes. I believe the Knesset HaGdolah, a Talmud of the Marit, was one of the very early writers on the Shulchan Aruch, before the Mogen Avraham. And he also offered the same contention, that once it's cooked, that it loses the status of yayin. So this, now what happened because of this, most of the world held that the Tzeilim Rov is right l'halacha. And they hold that on yayin, pasteurized grape juice, you can make kiddush. Now what's interesting is that Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal paskened like the Knesset HaGdolah. And to the extent that he wouldn't even make a Bar Priya Gofen on it. So, this, as I said, as much we go around and around, we go back to where we were before.
But he wouldn't make a Bar Priya Gofen because it couldn't become alcoholic?
Correct. So, in other words, it lost the Din Yayin, according to that.
Yayin has to be alcoholic.
Yes. In other words, it's potential wine. That's also wine. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara of Yayin Megito. But if it can no longer become yayin, then that's out of the question altogether. It's out of the ballpark.
Is non-bevushal grape juice pasteurized?
Non-bevushal. No, that's what it is. If you pasteurize it,
that's bevushal.
Yes, that's what the sheet is holding today. Okay, there's another level of this tumult, which goes to another halacha, which deals. Today, the pasteurization that they use is what they call flash pasteurization. That they raise the temperature up for an instant to whatever they hold the shear is, and then it immediately is brought right back down again. So it only goes up, hits that temperature for an imamish for an instant. So not everyone agreed with this either. Not everyone agreed with this, that this is to be construed as pasteurization. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I believe, was very vociferous.
And he held it wasn't mevushal?
He held it's not mevushal, yeah.
Could it become alcoholic?
I don't know if it could become alcoholic. I would think probably the answer is no. Well, he was more concerned. I don't know what he, in the mitzias of the grape juice. In other words, if they do it with flash pasteurization. But the wine, they certainly do it flash pasteurization because they want to have the most minimum effect on its flavor. So that's what they certainly use it, and he certainly, in terms of wine, did not hold that most of our wines are mevushal for that reason. You know, I don't think that others agreed with him in that regard, but this is one of the issues of the contemporary, you know, bishul of wine. Now, there was also a machlekes. What temperature do you have to reach for yayin to make yayin mevushal? So Rav Moshe Zatzal held that bishul. There's one definition of bishul in the Torah, and that is when something reaches yatzal ledesboy, it is mevushal. And this affected many, many halachas. He held, for example, that water, which is cooked to, which according to his view, the maximum temperature you needed for yatzal ledes was 160 degrees. 160, that's the maximum. Could not be more than that. So he held that once water crossed 160 degrees, it was mevushal. If you would now put it in a place on your lech, where it would go all the way up to boiling, so who cares? It's irrelevant. The difference between 160 and 212 has no halachic significance whatsoever. There are those in Eretz Yisrael that disagree with that they hold it until it's, it is not considered fully cooked until it reaches bishul, but Rav Moshe did not agree with him. Now the same is Rav Moshe wrote when it comes to yayin mevushal also it has to reach yatzal ledes. That's all you need. So others taina know that it has to boil. Why does it have to boil? Because the shach says it has to lose some of the volume. Now Rav Moshe wrote that the temperature of yatzal ledes is between 120 and 160 degrees. About 18 years ago, approximately, I did have occasion to visit the Kedem Winery in upstate New York. At that time, I was the president of the Vada Rabbanu of Queens, and I came, and they decided since I was the president of the Vada Rabbanu of Queens, they're going to be, you know, they'll give me the whole tour. You know, so they took me around. This someone from whatever, from the Herzogs, from the wine company, whatever. They took me around the factory. And we climbed up, you know, next to the big vats holding the grape juice. And I'm up there on top of the big vat holding the grape juice. and there's steam coming out the top, steaming. And I asked the guy, what's the temperature? Checks, it's 130 degrees. So I said, you see, Rav Moshe is right. I said, Rav Moshe said that undoubtedly at Yatzalet this, it loses some, something boils off. You don't have to get it up to 212, but undoubtedly, yeah, it must be that at Yatzalet this, that's only the only definition of Bishul that exists. So, that something boils off. So I said, listen, just look at this. Here it is. It's happening in front of our eyes. But this is one of the ongoing machlokes about how much you have to cook, to what temperature you need to make yayin revushal for grape juice. You know, for yayin. Oh. Now, let's go back. Included in this is another wrinkle that usually gets disappears. Let's go back to the Mechaber. Mekachin ayayin bevushel, vayayin sheyesh boi dvash. Ke'ein konditin shenasim ayayin dvash of palim. It has, it was a drink which was made from wine and honey and spices. So the Shulchan Aruch said that that it's mutter, that ain't mekachin alayim. The Chofetz Chaim adds in the name of the Prima God, those people shall mesimin made vash b'yayin lematik. They put some honey in to sweeten the wine. Or mesimin shom tzucker, or they put sugar into it. Yesh lo hachmer lefidvorov. Should be machmer according to this shita. So therefore it comes out as the following, that a sweetened wine, in other words, if you want to be machmer like the shita to use the yayin she'enu mevushel, so you should also be machmer not to use a wine with sugar added to it.
What happened in the old days is that disgusting men and sweet, you know, until recent days.
The wine could be naturally sweet. There's two different ways it's sweet.
No sugar, would taste it.
There was one with added sugar, and I think the ones without the added sugar.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, they had like the extra heavy Concord said that it had, you know, added sugar to it. But normally you don't have to add. You don't have to add sugar to it. But what I'm pointing out is if one wishes to be machmer, according to the Shita, which the Chofetz Chaim recommends lechatchila, of using yayin she'enu mevushel, all things being equal, then you equally have to be careful. In other words, you can't use a sangria. And any wine with added sugar you can't use.
But this is not for the Sephiroth. This is not for the
Bracha Bar Pri HaGafen. No, we're Bar Pri HaGafen, we're paskening, you make Bar Pri HaGafen regardless. So this is an important, this part of the Shulchan Aruch, that you can't have other additives to it, this disappeared by the wayside. Yayin Mevushel and Yayin She'enu Mevushel, this became famous. The rest disappeared under the radar.
Well, none of these, the companies don't give out their recipes. They don't tell people what they add to the wine. You know, you buy a bottle, if a person buys a bottle of wine,
In the liquor store, how do they know whether they put wine into this particular batch or not? I mean, sugar in this batch or not. Sometimes it calls for sugar, sometimes it doesn't. Well, I guess, I presume that if you do enough research, you'll find the answer to the question. It's not, it may depend on a particular batch, on those particular grapes, what the vintner thinks is. Yeah, I kind of suspect
that in higher grade things, they're not dealing with those things. You know, we're really.
The
Rambam holds even one drop, and a huge barrel parcels it.
Didn't have sugar so much in the Rambam and the Gemara days, I don't think so.
No, they used all the sweetness.
Okay.
You know. But so this is an important point, just in the analysis of what we actually make Kiddush on. Now, I also wanted to look a little bit at some of the notions which we started to touch upon last week, of the inyanim of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. First, I want to start with one simple halacha, a very relevant halacha, and one which, from Lidaiti, is really a machlekes in the Rishonim. And the issue is what the hachra is. Is the following issue. Let me tell you, Ma'aser Shehoya Kachoya. Aaron Meltzer, you hear Aaron Meltzer? Yeah, okay, you'll appreciate this story. There were two Polish Shtiblach in East New York, where I lived, in my part of East New York, that were approximately a block and a half away from each other. Why there were two of them, I've yet to figure out, because all of these guys were friends with each other, and they all came to each other's simchas, but they had to have two shuls. Why? I don't know. I have no idea why. I didn't. I guess maybe I had to come be 50 years older than I was to know why it had to be that way, but it was. Now, I davened one of them, where Aaron's family davened, had a rav, a very choshul rav, Rav Blau, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He put out many of these Sforim for manuscripts. It was a tremendous boki in Shas. An awesome boki. He put out tons and tons of Sforim, the Ritvam of Avastra, the Rein Avram and Ahar, all of those Sforim he put out. Tons of Sforim for manuscripts. He was the rav in the other Polish Shtibol. In the Polish Shtibol, where my family davened, we davened not in the daytimes till the end, but in the night, the Mizrachi shul that we went to was very far from our house. So in the night time, from Mincha Marav, we davened always in the shtibol. This shtibol didn't have a rav. There's no rav there. Till later, what happened when the neighborhood was going down, so these two Polish shtibol finally combined, and the one that I davened in owned its building, wasn't rented, so they davened, that's what I davened. In this shul, they had the following practice. Now, Pesach is a very tricky time. What can you bring in on Pesach that anyone's going to eat? You know. So, they used to have a Kiddush. I don't know if it was on Pesach or Shabbos Chalamoid Pesach, but it was a Kiddush. The Kiddush basically consisted of two things. Of Shlivovitz, and I guess whoever it was, but somebody from the shul, that everyone trusted, they cooked hard-boiled eggs. That was the entire Kiddush. That was it. And Kachoy. So I remember that when the two shtibels combined, so Rav Blau, Zatzal told me once, he didn't want to protest because they did this forever, but he didn't hold from the Kiddush. He says, they're not Yotze Kiddush B'Makom Suda. It's the Mezainus. So they can't be Yotze Kiddush like this. So you're not allowed to eat. So, and this is the truth of the matter, is he's correct, according to the most Achronim, he's correct, this Pesach. But the Pesach Shehidim that I davened with were also correct. I don't know who gave them the Pesach, but they were also correct. Why? Because Rav Moshe Zatzal, and I presume others must have had this sheet too, I believe, as I said, it stems all the way back to Ashayla and the Rishayim, that when we say Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that if I made Kiddush and it wasn't B'Makom Suda, that's a zero? So that was as if I haven't made Kiddush, and consequently I'm eating before and drinking before Kiddush. Or, no, Kiddush Am Yaitse, even if it's not B'Makom Suda. And since I made Kiddush and I drank whatever, I'm Yotze. And I can eat. Once you make Kiddush, you're allowed to eat. Elamai is a different halacha. And that is B'Makom Suda, you have to make Kiddush. Now, the reason for that would stem back, really, to the issue that we saw in the Radak in Yeshaya, that the V'karos al Shabbos Oinek should be nicker from the Suda that it's Shabbos. So part of the hecker that at Shabbos is the Kiddush. We're saying, Rabbi Yisrael, you know what this is about? This is the Shem Kiddush of Shabbos. This is not, I'm not eating supper tonight. This is the Shem Kiddush of Shabbos, what this meal is about. That's what I'm doing. When I make Kiddush, it proclaims what the meal is. So that's what it's necessary for. It's necessary to give context to the Suda, that the Suda is Suda Shabbos. It's a Dindar Rabbanon. So these are two days. I believe that I found them I don't remember now, it's a long, long time since I looked, either in the Meiri or the Mordechai, but I believe that what I 40 years back or so, or even more than that, that I believe then that this is a machloikis in the Rishonim. And that's, sometime I'll have to take a look back. I haven't looked in many, many years at it. But, so this, Rav Moshe, was on the other side. So he held that the Kiddush is legitimate, except you just have to make Kiddush again, B'makom Suda. So he said, in reality, they really could have done this Friday night too. In other words, all the problems with the Chazan making Kiddush, why don't we just have him, he made Kiddush, he could drink. It's not B'makom Suda, so good, you go home and make Kiddush again. So he said they could have, but I guess since Imam is making a brocha of Kiddush, they didn't want to be noyeg, the chatchil in such fashion constantly, to do it. But Meikra the dinner, it's fine. And I guess in the daytime, you don't have it's just Bura Priya Gofen anyhow. There's no Shaila, Shasha, the brocha, according to any day. So they weren't, concerned. In the night, at least according to the Machmirim view, you would not, it's a Shaila of a brocha of a tolo. So at least they didn't want to be noyeg like that, I presume, the chatchil. But in the daytime, where you already, there's no issue of brocha levatola, you made bracha pragofen and you drank wine. So our sole issue was the dindur rabbanon of kiddush b'makom suda. No, so that lemaisa, they were ready to be meikel.
Was there any achronim between Moshe and the Rishonim?
I don't know. And then the Chofetz Chaim quotes achronim on the other side from Moshe.
Right. Anybody feel like Moshe?
I don't know. I did not look in the Achronim to tell you if the others that took up his side.
The world is not knowing that
Rav Moshe. The Mishnah Berurah wrote otherwise, but I'm just telling you, Rav Moshe took the other side of this machleikus, and Rav Moshe was machriyah. That's the din. But this by a din to Rabbanon, it's not at all surprising that a din to Rabbanon. He was willing, even in terms of Shikol Hadas, to be machri against others that came before him. In Adin D'Raisa, he would not do it. In Adin D'Raisa, he held he had to have a solid raya from the Gemara to Rishonim. In Shikol Hadas, he wouldn't, be machri against them.
What did Moshe hold about Friday night? Did he hold that the Mekadesh could really drink the wine?
Yeah, in reality, bottom line, except I think I'm being masber his cheshman the way I understand it. He might have, put it differently than I would put it. I know he said he didn't want to do it bekfias, which I I presume what he meant is that since there are shittas that do hold otherwise, and according to them would be a chashash brochel of atol of the whole nusach HaKiddush, so I made it to be noyeg lechatchila, that constantly they didn't want to do. In the daytime, where there's no issue of brocha levatolo, the brocha yoytze. So it's a din and the din der rabbanon of kiddush b'makom suda. So marash. That's what I presume he meant. You may find that it's at a different hesber in the split between Friday night, but that's the way I see it at this moment. So this is a very interesting point of kiddush b'makom suda. Now, probably for another reason. When you go home on Shabbos, you have to know the eating habits of the people in your family. So if you have reason to think that they didn't eat a kezias or bezonos at the Kiddush, some people are niblis. The two bites is already, for them is kedei sphere. So, if you suspect that they're not the type that eat enough, that they're definitely going to eat the kezias at the Kiddush, then it's kedai again to make Kiddush when you go home. Otherwise, as I said, the general practice, we're not machmal, as I mentioned, with the shittas agrod, that you need dafka lechem in the daytime. So generally speaking, I am not machmal to make Kiddush again when I go home after a Kiddush. The people around me usually make sure that they have a share. So it's not an issue. If somebody came and they have to realize that maybe they had a chashash, they didn't have a share, so I'll make Kiddush again before the Suda.
And we don't have the identifying Kiddush on the Suda when we go home.
Listen, so you ain't ochanami. So that's probably what a Gro held, that you should only make Kiddush with that Suda.
Yeah.
That's the sheet that's a Gro. But
well,
in other words,
we wouldn't even eat a Kiddush.
Ain't ochanami. But that's will come out to be what the reason for it is. So, you know, assuming that that's pshat, according to Rambam Yisrael, even pshat in the Goyin is also different. You just have to have kiddush b'makom suda. You know, I don't know.
According to Ramosha, then we really should make kiddush again.
No, according to him, we certainly don't need to make kiddush. But yeah, this is enough of a suda for kiddush b'makom suda. That's the
difference.
It's enough for kiddush b'makom suda. It's enough for mezainus. That's all. There has to be. You already made a declaration that this suda, it's the second suda Shabbos Gavad. That's all you have to do. The third one you don't have to do. So this is one of the very fascinating machloekes.
Is there any need if you have small children at home to make kiddush again, just so that they don't get confused that you're not making kiddush before
the mumsy? Yeah, I could hear it. If they don't understand, it's probably best that you make kiddush again. No, I mean, probably what? Maybe they didn't hear kiddush either in shul. So good. So establish in of chinuch too. They're old enough to be mechanach there. So a page out of East New York. Yeah. So this is issue number one about kiddush b'makom suda, a very important issue. Now there are other issues about kiddush b'makom suda that the question is, what is the time frame for kiddush b'makom suda? How does it work? And where does the suda have to be in relationship to the kiddush? Two questions. What's the time frame? When and where? So this is the subject really of the next siman, of siman Reish Ayin Gimel. In kiddush, ela b'makom suda, Shulchan Aruch writes. So there's a whole tumult in that. The first day it says it by a second, lipino lipino. Lipino lipino means within one room. Now it could be a very large room. If you go to an armory where 10,000 people could fit into that room. And you need maybe a bus to take you from one end to the other, but it's one room. So im shum kiddush lechol pina zu v'nim lach lechol pina cheres, afilu traklin gogol, it's a huge place. And it's orach lach zu l'kaddush. And we bias l'sukka choshev kemi pina l'pina. If you went from the bias out to the sukkah, that, let's say, for example, it was raining and a guy made kiddush in the house and then he wants to go and stop raining, he wants to eat the meal in the sukkah. And as long as you can see the place that you made the kiddush, that's considered mokum echad. We had a third yeshomer, shem kiddush b'mokum echad, adas lechol b'mokum acha, shaper domi. That even if you can't see the first place, but both should be in one building. Upstairs and downstairs. And the Rambam concludes, v'chein ikar. And this is the ikar l'halacha. So we come out with the following, that if one had in mind, if one made kiddush, that intended from going from place to place in one building. So really a yaitze. But the Chofetz Chaim writes, that the chatchila, one shouldn't do this. The chatchila, right. So you shouldn't move from the place to make kiddush. Some even say from one end of a huge room to another, you also not yotze. And lo shol yadayt the base kisha kiddush lechol b'pina acheres. So it'll come out that certainly in all the other cases in the Shulchan Aruch lechatchila you shouldn't do. Now in some shuls, they have a practice, and I understand the practice, that let's say after davening, the Rav makes kiddush in the shul, and then the people go down to the kiddush in the social hall. So it's rooted really in the last view of the Shulchan Aruch, which Yishnei Mekamos of Bayis Echad. And the Rav said, V'chein Ikar. And their cheshbon was that they were afraid that if they did it otherwise, that the people would eat before Kiddush, or never hear Kiddush altogether. So therefore, some rabbanim were machriya, that best to be soymach. In other words, the situation is not lechatchila anyhow. It can't be yotzi everything. So rather, take a din with a ramor paskin v'chein ikar, and you're allowed to go mecheder lecheder, rather than to have people eating without Kiddush, before Kiddush, or without Kiddush altogether. So rather than doing that, that they made Kiddush in the shul before the people went down to the Kiddush. Baruch Hashem, we live with, you know, where we are. Baruch Hashem, we don't have this issue. You know, we're zeich a little bit, I think, to be a little bit more fayekish in that regard, you know, and proper. So, you know, we're able, you know, to get downstairs and still have Kiddush before we, you know, start the Kiddush itself. So we have the Maila of all the Mailas. You know, we have Kiddush Mamash B'Mokum Suda, and that nobody, you know, eats or drinks before Kiddush. So that's Baruch Hashem. But this is, so the Lechatchila really is, you should stay in the place that you had, in there you should have the Mokum Suda. The Yevids go to all types of situations. Certainly around one building you can go. And some even hold that you can go from house to house if you can see the first place. You know, unless through the window I can see the first place. So that's enough. I still can be Yitzhak Kiddush B'mokum Suda with that as well. That's a little bit more controversial. Lechatchila, you should even avoid that. That's what he writes. Lechatchila toiv shalei losr mimokum shakiddush. To yesh machmirim gami v'pina l'pina. There are machmirim that say even going from one end of the room to the other.
What about going out of the room and coming back?
So I think he also says not to do that unless there's a reason for the meal itself. That's one view. Now we had the view of Kagon Mecheder Lecheder. Where is that? Revayis Echad here. I know Tachas Gagechad Avu Bishen Roya Mekaymoy. But he was not enthralled with this, unless I don't have a different print of the Mishnah Berurah. I'm a little bit anyway. I'm not, you know, I'm an old-fashioned Jew. I know the old-fashioned pages in the where is this? But he was not enthralled with the idea. So we'll see soon. In the next halacha, it'll be defined.
Is this related in any way to all those restaurants where they got those stupid pieces of bread beer right near the washing, and then people eat it there and then walk to it, which doesn't seem necessary to me?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a different shaila altogether. I'm not, it's nothing to do with Kiddush B'mokum Suda.
Yeah.
It has to do with the following. It's, and again, you know, in halacha, you have to know what the value to assign to each thing that you're doing is. And to know where you're being makel and where you're being machmer with each step that you take. There's a Ramah that says that a person shouldn't go, I think, 22 amas without, between the Tilas Yadayim, at a Zman of 22 amas, in between the Tilas Yadayim and the time he makes Amoitzi. Now, you will realize that that will probably work for about a situation where you have one person washing. If you have more than that, to make a very simple cheshbon, let's just put it down to 20 amas for a moment, okay? We can add 10% later. So, 2,000 amas, hiluch mil. So let's take the biggest amount, largest amount of time for hiluch mil, is the Rambam sheet, is 20, the Rav and the Mishnayis, is 24 minutes. So we have 1/100th of that. It's 24/100ths of a minute, right? So just under a quarter of a minute. So if we'll add 10% to it, we'll be up to 2,700ths, just over a quarter of a minute. So we're about 16, 17 seconds. Now, how many people are going to wash? If I wash, how many other people are going to wash within 16, 17 seconds? And get to the table, and we're going to make a mitzvah. Now, our kaponim is pretty hard. If you're by yourself, I guess you could be mekayim this Ramah. It's the chumrah of the Ramah. So the Shaila is the following. So the Shaila is, so what they want to do is they put down a piece of challah, you should be yoytzi to sheet the sarama. You made a moitzi right away. The problem is that midina of the Gemara, or the midina of the Mishnah, is better to make a bracha on a sholin than on a prusa. So now I have a Shaila. I can be mekayim the Ramos Chumra and be makel the din of the Mishnah. I'll wait until I go back to my table and be mekayim the din of the Mishnah and be makel the Ramos Chumra. So obviously that you have to be makel machmer and the din of the Mishnah and makel the Ramos Chumra, and not the other way around. So I think because of that, some places apparently enough Rabbonim told them that they started making little chalalachs that you can get a sholin, you know. So you know. You know, a little button-sized challah, you know. So yoytzei, you know, the holidays. But I never. That's the reason
how
I did.
How many those do you have to eat to have a kezias?
So you don't need a kezias the first second. You go to Yisit and you eat a kezias.
So, yeah. So it is preferable. Let's say a wedding, chasna. You got to walk a mile till you get to Yisit. So
there is a mila. If you had a sholim, would be a mila.
Take your roll with you.
Yeah, would be a mila. Yeah, but usually it doesn't work. You usually wash before you go in. So I'll call upon him. That's number one. Now, this halacha is important. In Kiddush b'bayis echad lechol shom. Let's go to halacha gimel. We're going to run out of time. In Kiddush v'lay sod. If a person made Kiddush and he didn't eat, after the Kiddush lo yotze, he wasn't yotze Kiddush either. In other words, you have to remake the Kiddush too. B'tzorach lecho b'mokim Kiddush la'altar. You have to eat immediately. O sheyeh v'dayit okein lecho shalom. At least you intended to eat immediately. Avo b'lav hoch, yafilu ocho b'mokim Kiddush ein ha'yotze. If you didn't have in mind, and actually you didn't wind up eating immediately, you're not yotze. V'mohoy v'dayit shalo lecho shalom yad. And suppose he had in mind not to eat right away, but v'nimlach v'ochal, and then he changed his mind and he ate immediately, then the halacha is very yotza. So this is a very, very important halacha.
So at times of Kiddush downstairs, one really should take a piece of cake on the plate, so you haven't quite there to make a mezonos immediately?
Well, it's pretty la'alta. I don't think that, you know, that's, you know, the few seconds that it takes you a moment to get a piece of cake is considered a, you know, a hefsik. Although yafsik afilu zman kotzer, one should not make a hefsik even for a short amount of time. Yeah. Yeah, they bring in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. We can certainly wait a number of minutes in between, you know, Kiddush and the Mokum Suda. Yes?
Yes. I seem to remember last Friday night, the Rabbi was talking about someone who has a habit of having a cup of coffee at the Kiddush before he washes.
Yeah, so those people usually those people usually have cake also with Kiddush.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I wanted to. I'm going to end with this point. I don't really have time to go into further details. But this we have to know, that the intention to, there has to be an intention to have either a mezonos or wash immediately. So this, the truth of the matter is, this might be another reason that for the minhag that people have mezonos before the washing. In other words, probably in many places, you know, it depends. You know, the yekis have it downright. They wash first, you know. You make Kiddush, that's it. There's nothing else to do. You can't do anything other than make a mitzi. So you just, it's highly efficient also. You get people gathered one time and you proceed. It fits in, you know, there was, you know, the yekis would have to have such a shita. You know. But, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons it came about that people gave cake, because maybe in a lot of places people weren't ready to wash right away. It took forever till they washed. It'll be a shiloh for yotze kiddush b'mokum suda. So this way that they were yotze, in other words, cake you can have right away. You don't have to wait for everyone to wash and to make with the lecha mishnah and the ganze maizes, you know. Yeah.
Did you Didn't Rav Moshe say that this is not operable, that you could make it without eating?
No. That's true, but you still need Kiddush B'Mokum Suda. When you sit down to your meal, you have to have a Kiddush B'Mokum Suda.
But there, you could have Kiddush without, then you make Kiddush B'Mokum.
But there has to be a Kiddush B'Mokum Suda, yeah. That's B'Diyuk.
Rubber up the Yankees. What if somebody's eating by someone who's Yankee? You should wash and make Kiddush like him?
Yeah, the Tesefta, there's a Tesefta that says you should always, when you're among people that are standing, stand, and when you're among those that are sitting, sit. You know, that's the minhag of the Balavayas, you do the same thing. Oh, so I think we'll hold it at this point, probably.
Sure.
I was